Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Why is she focusing on such a small, minor thing? And when things are going so well with us right now, and it was frustrating for me. And then I kind of go into a shell type of thing to protect myself. And
yeah, I think whenever those things come up from this point on, the first thing you have to ask yourself, Nick, is this: how can I help Christy feel secure? How can I help her feel secure in this moment? That's my only job, not to defend myself, just to say, how can I help her feel secure in this moment? In those moments, Christy, your one and only job is, how can I help him feel appreciated?
Are you ready to talk to me? My name is Deborah Falada, and I'm a licensed professional counselor, national speaker, and author. Through my blog, books, and podcast, I have the privilege of helping millions of people get healthy mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. The purpose of this podcast is to have on-air, authentic, counseling-style sessions where we talk about how people are really doing and give my guests and callers an opportunity to talk to me as a licensed professional counselor. Each of these episodes is meant to show you that we are all on the journey of healing, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally, together. None of us are immune to the challenges and struggles of life, but we don't have to walk this path alone. I'm so proud and honored to be having these conversations with men and women who are courageously paving the way for open and honest conversations about their personal journey of healing. So if you're ready, let's talk. It is February, which means our couples therapy sessions are rolling back out. I'm so excited about these on-air conversations with real-life couples. We're pulling back the curtain on marriage and showing you the raw, real, authentic side that's going on behind the scenes in everyday life. These courageous couples are joining me on the podcast to talk about their relationship, their struggles, and ways they want to strengthen their marriage. So join us this month of February for Couples on Air Therapy. Here we go. Today on the podcast, we have Christy and Nick from Canada. It's so good to have you guys.
So good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Okay, well, let me start with this. How did we get connected to begin with?
I think I stumbled upon your podcast from a different podcast, and then I just started listening to a bunch of episodes, and then I started doing seminars, and then...
You got hooked.
Then yes, I got.
She's a big Debbie Falada fan.
Well, I'm so grateful to have you both and to get to know you and dig into your story a little bit. So, okay, let's start with this. Why don't you, Nick, start with giving us a little bit of a summary of what's going on with you as a couple and what you hope we get out of this time together?
About 8 years ago, or almost 9 years ago, there was an infidelity. I committed an infidelity and, caused a significant wound to Christy. I was going through things, she was going through things, but I mean, there's no, there's no excuse for that type of pain to, to cause somebody that type of pain. And so we separated for a while, and then we got back together and putting in the work to fix things. And over the last 8 years, there's been a lot of kind of like little situations. We really didn't get the the real work done that we should have initially. I think there was a lot of
lack of knowledge.
Yeah, really. Lack of knowledge about the situation. There was more work, you know, that I could have been doing on my end to really kind of explore, you know, why I made those decisions and or that decision. Yeah, so just like Christy said, just kind of a lack of knowledge. And we thought we were, what we were doing was sufficient. So we were meeting initially with our pastor and starting to work through a lot of stuff. And, you know, again, just kind of thought that was sufficient. But it was really just kind of like putting a Band-Aid on some significant wounds, especially with Christy. And so the last several years, as my job has changed and I'm working with more women than I had in the past, it's raised a lot of anxiety with Christy, and kind of there's been some triggers there that have been difficult for her to deal with, and she's been trying really hard to work on those, and I've been trying to do my work in mitigating those, but it's definitely been challenging. So that's kind of a summary of where we're at.
Yeah, that's a really helpful summary. So about 8-9 years ago, there was an affair. And then you kind of dipped into healing, a little superficial at first, then a little bit deeper, and kind of making progress with healing. Mm-hmm. But then recently, it's like new things are resurfacing with your job, new insecurities, new things you're having to navigate, relationships with women, and it's kind of brought some of that stuff back up to the surface.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, in a way, this is perfect timing. In a way, this feels like the next layer of healing. And it's almost like after the dust settles for a little bit and then something new emerges, it's like, oh, here we go again. This wound isn't healed. But it is. It's just, this is a different layer. This is a deeper level of healing than you've had to navigate before. So I think this is a really important conversation. I'm really glad that you chose to be here for this. So thank you for sharing. Okay, so the issue that's being triggered right now is insecurity revolving around navigating new relationships. Tell me a little bit about that, Nick. Tell me what's happened and what the arguments have been about and how they've kind of what's coming up to the surface right now.
So kind of the greatest change in my work is that so I kind of work in the social work field. So several years ago I was and have predominantly worked with men. Mm-hmm. At a men's shelter doing program management, things like that. But recently I've switched jobs and I kind of took a better paying job, a better job for my career with an organization that the majority of the people who work there are women. Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, part of my job is kind of going out like in partnership with a female person to visit homeless encampments and things like that. You know, trying to support those living in homelessness to get into homes. But it does take me into close proximity with, like with females, like being in a car with a woman, you know, going to someplace or whatever. So that has been kind of one of the biggest challenges to navigate.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. But before that, 9 years ago, when the affair happened, tell me briefly, and I don't feel like we have to go super deep there because you've done a lot of work in that area already, but what was the superficial, give me a quick summary of what was surrounding that situation that led to an affair?
I guess if it was, just kind of, I guess kind of the superficial type thing. So at the time, like we'd had a child, it was very, very challenging. Christy didn't have family here. She's from Guatemala originally. And so all her family is there. We didn't have the family supports. My family's wasn't really helpful. So it was a lot on us as being like, you know, I'm working full-time jobs. She's caring for the baby essentially by herself until I come home. And then, you know, there's a lot of, it's a very high stress situation.
Yeah.
She also was going through what we believe was like postpartum depression, which we were really very ignorant of. So it was a very difficult situation. You know, there was times when she would say kind of in the middle of a crisis, like, I don't even want the child anymore type of thing. It was very stressful on both of us. And we know that was kind of the illness she was dealing with that she didn't have support for at the time. So it was very difficult. It really frayed our relationship a lot. So I was going into school. I've always been kind of had this, you know, issue with, you know, that savior complex of, you know, I'm trying to, you know, this person comes along in my life and I just want to help them. And but also I was very like, this was so long ago and you don't really know about, didn't really have the experience with like proper boundaries and things like that. Which now, I mean, I've taken the courses and things like that and have the experience. But at that time I was younger and, you know, not understanding how, you know, when you're vulnerable with a person, with another person's vulnerable with you, you know, you still have to maintain that kind of little bit of space to protect yourself, because you know you can get roped into feeling things that aren't really there. And so yeah, this, you know, this other person was going through a difficult time in their relationship and I was as well, and theirs was more significant, and it's just initially like, oh, I'm gonna help you through this type of thing, and it got that line got blurred a lot.
Okay. And was it also through work?
No. So I had not been at work. I had left work to like focus on school for this particular year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was school related thing. It was a like college situation, just getting a diploma in a certain
Got
program.
It. Okay.
And he was a classmate.
Got it. Okay. So not work related, but now it's triggering some insecurities because of the fact that for the first time in a while, you have the opportunity to have closer proximity with someone of the opposite sex. So Christy, tell me a little bit from your perspective of what do you feel is coming up to the surface in this season with all of this stuff with boundaries and women and the opposite sex and all of that.
Yeah. So I think that, as background too, like Nick said, I'm Guatemalan, and, I do feel like there is quite a difference in terms of like friendships of the opposite sex, culturally speaking. It is not something that is common, after you get married to have, friends of the opposite sex where I come from. So I find it almost like disrespectful. It is just one of those things where like, because I was raised in a culture where you just don't do that. And it's linked to respecting your partner and, you know, avoiding this type of situations, because family is very, the family values are very strong where I come from. So that's to me part of it, that I do feel disrespected when he makes friends of the opposite sex. So throughout our marriage, there has been, you know, several friends of the opposite sex that have kind of triggered this like anger in me, because I feel disrespected. And then in terms of what happened after the affair, through therapy, I discovered that there was like an unresolved childhood trauma that was fear of abandonment. So this just really like took it to a whole other level,
right?
Where I felt abandoned. And so now I am at a place where anything that feels similar to what happened then, even like before, it just sends me like signals of like danger. And I just like get incredibly, you know, nervous and anxious. And I just feel like I need to stop it and I need to protect myself and our relationship from it.
Yeah. And part of that is true, right? When you feel the signals, danger, you should respond to the signals, even though the signals aren't always accurate, right? But let's say you're feeling insecure. That's the signal. That's the feeling. Feelings are a signal. The question is, how do you handle that feeling? Do you handle it with rage, control, you know, trying to control the situation in anger and explode? Or do you handle the signal? Do you respond to the signal by being vulnerable and saying, hey, I'm feeling all this stuff underneath the surface. I'm having all these fears. I'm worried you're going to abandon me. And I need you. I need affirmation, attention, encouragement, safety, security, right? Because it's the same signal. And the signal's not the bad guy. The signal's healthy. The signal's protecting you. The signal is God-given. But it's, what do you do with that signal when it comes up? Are you able to be vulnerable and share what you need with Nick? Or do you try to just control the situation? So I'm curious, how do you handle it when that signal comes up?
I think that for the longest time, I would handle it with like rage. I would.
I would disagree. I would say that she's done a good job of being vulnerable.
Much better at it now. I think at first there was a lot of anger.
And I think there's been times I think it's been kind of a combination of more control, trying to control the situation. She's very much a type A personality, like a perfectionist. So some of it probably leaks into that. But I think because it's kind of a mixture, like there's been times when she's been vulnerable at trigger and I've handled it appropriately, but then there's been other times when I haven't handled it appropriately. I've become more defensive, and which I know is not a healthy way to deal with the situation, but it's been challenging, because there's the times that she's tried to control things, and, it's hard to, like, internally kind of differentiate between, you know, do I feel that she's coming at me in a place of vulnerability and she's really needing like affection and affirmation of care? Or do I think she's just trying to control the situation and she's expecting me to behave in a way or to act in a way that is maybe not fair or not appropriate for her to ask?
Yeah.
So like a perfect example of that is that now if I'm, you know, like we could be both home, we could be both doing our own things after 5 o'clock, after I'm off work, you know, she could be watching, you know, a movie on her own or doing something completely on her own. And I'm doing my own thing. If I was to get a text, you know, and it could be a male coworker, like asking me, you know, texting me something and I'm responding, you know, that becomes like upsetting for her. She's kind of like, why are you doing this? This is our time, you know, and even though we're not actually like spending time together, we're not like watching a movie together. Mm-hmm. It's doing our own separate thing. So for me, that would be an example of, this is you trying to exert control over me and my, you know, and so I kind of push back on that.
Yeah. And underneath her trying to exert control is something.
Yeah.
Let's take that example. You're doing your own thing. He starts going on his phone and you don't know exactly what he's doing. And you start feeling annoyed and you say, I'm annoyed because why are you on your phone? So he sees it as control. What is really going on underneath the surface in that moment for you, Christy?
I feel that part of it is that I don't trust him. And so because there has been so much damage done over the years through text messages, not just when the affair happened, but with friends of the opposite sex, where there has been inappropriate things said, or, you know, in social media, for example, pictures that were, you know, inappropriate to look at that he had probably hearted, or comments, things like that. To me, his phone is a very unsafe place for a relationship. So when I see him on his phone, especially if it's after work, I do start to question, what is being said at this time, because it's not work hours anymore.
Yeah.
Why is there a conversation happening at this time, and what is being said? Because I guess, like I said, there's been way too many times where inappropriate things have been said that I always fear the worst, that I am, I get nervous about what is being said.
Sure. Yeah. I think that makes sense. Okay. So after an affair, kind of standard in my work with couples is part one, creating a new atmosphere of trust. And in order to create a new atmosphere of trust, there has to be protection and boundaries, right? So that's kind of what we establish first. And then part two is we often go back and do the work. Like you guys talked about doing a lot of the work from the past and recognizing your triggers and things from your family of origin and all of these things. Whether or not you realize it, you come into marriage with baggage. Things that cause you to act, react, and interact in negative and unhealthy ways. And oftentimes those things are revealed in marriage because marriage acts like a mirror to the worst parts of who you are. But we don't have to stop there because marriage can also be an invitation into deeper healing. In my book, Choosing Marriage, I want to talk to you about the 8 choices you can make today to begin healing your relationships by healing yourself first. We're going to do some real talk about intimacy issues, conflict management, communication hangups, family of origin baggage, personality differences, and so much more to help you become healthy and create a healthy marriage. This book isn't just for married couples. It's also for anyone who wants to get healthy in preparation for marriage. At the end of every chapter, you'll find questions for couples, but also questions for singles to help you get healthy standing alone. We're taking the best of psychology and relationship counseling and pairing it with God's truth in Choosing Marriage, why it has to start with "We is greater than me." If you haven't read it yet, pick up a copy today, anywhere books are sold. I'm curious if you've had an opportunity to sort of establish any sort of boundaries after the affair and what they look like.
Yep. So we have, and that's kind of something that's evolved over time. So I've completely gotten rid of my social media. I don't have social media.
Okay.
Also, she is and has had access to my phone since that occurred. She has the passwords. She'll grab it anytime and look.
Yep.
Text.
So like that. Total transparency with technology.
My email passwords, like it's.
Okay. Anything else?
I think another thing that changed was that you don't go one-on-one on like coffee dates or.
They're not. They wouldn't be dates. Yeah, I don't date other women while I'm married.
Just calling it, I mean, like work.
I mean, yeah.
Language matters, Christy. I'm glad he clarified that. Language matters. So no one-on-ones with anyone of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, well, that's coworkers, or I guess people that I'm working with kind of in the field. Christy and you know, my part of, part of something that I've always been kind of confused about is like, she's never had any issues with me being one-on-one with a client. And I have female clients, you know, and I've told her like, I go to the homes of female clients, you know, and she's never seemed to have an issue with that. But it's more just kind of people in a professional office, you know, who would be married and who would be, you know, she's had issues. Those are the people she has the issues with.
I guess it's more that, I mean, I understand when you are doing your job, you have to meet your responsibilities, but there are sometimes, or in the past, there have been times where it was not work related. It was more like, let's just hang out, let's just catch up. And that I have had a problem with.
I can't think of an example of that.
It has been a while because I don't do it anymore. Yeah,
and I don't do it. One thing, I guess, would be kind of a consideration or an example around that is I wouldn't go and meet with a female coworker for coffee or whatever. But there is times when we'll be texting, and we'll be talking about client, but also making jokes or whatever about work-related things. And I just view that as kind of relationship building with the community supports. So, you know, we work with government agencies as well. And I mean, their jobs are very difficult. You know, they have finite amount of, you know, money and things to be able to allocate, you know, to different agencies like mine. And, you know, if they can provide housing or whatever those, you know, that type of stuff, you know, they can't do it for everyone. So it's kind of like building that rapport with, you know, that particular individual. But I mean, like Christy sees the messages. There's nothing like I'm not commenting on the appearance of the person being like, oh, you know, you're so pretty or whatever. It's more just things like, you know, oh, how was your week? You know, I hope it was an easy one for you. You know, I know your job's difficult. That type of rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
But she feels that that's not appropriate for work I shouldn't need to do that. I guess
I would like to say to that I see why when you say it that way, it looks like maybe I am exaggerating. But what happens is there's a history with each of these females where with pretty much all of them, there was something said before or there were social media pictures liked before were... To me, that person just doesn't feel safe anymore. So I know like specifically who you were talking about right now when you were saying that I have a problem, for example, with you saying, oh, how's your week going? Or kind of like trying to build that rapport. But the thing is, back like in the fall, I didn't even know who this person was. And I just noticed that she was liking some of your photos and you had liked some of her photos. And I just remember having a panic attack.
I can see that one. That one makes sense to me. One of the people that she, I guess, feels unsafe with, who is now a direct coworker of mine, the issue that she has is that there was an incident where we were both crossing the street. And a car was coming out of this parking lot and ran into her gently, but with enough power that she was knocked down. But I was right beside her as we were walking across the street, so I kind of grabbed her and pulled her up. But that was the nature of the incident. So I just feel like that person never said anything, you know, inappropriate. That person never did anything inappropriate. They just literally got bumped into by a car and I happened to be there to prevent them from getting tumbled over into the snow. And so that Christy kind of holds this tension towards this person.
That was someone else.
But
I was just saying before.
Yeah.
The social media photos.
Okay.
They were very
I get that
separate
one.
Person.
Yeah. But are you, does that mean you're okay now with this other person?
No, I was just, I guess you interrupted the point I was making was that there is a story behind this person and you were commenting about how I have a problem with you just being nice to them now. And I'm just saying it's because there's a history. There were photos that were very revealing of her that you hearted. And there was a lot of commenting back and forth between both of your photos. And so it just immediately triggered and sent me back to that place of this is how that affair started. This is exactly how it started. So to me, that was very triggering. And this other person that you mentioned, it wasn't so much that this incident happened. It was the way you told me about it, where it felt to me when you told me that it was very like you were the hero. And you said that she fell into your arms.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to make myself sound like a hero.
Well, it that kind of like got engraved in my brain, where this woman fell into your arms and you saved her. And it just triggered images again of that affair where this other woman was in your arms and, you know, just you being the hero. So that is why with each specific woman, yeah, that he, there's a story behind. So any other new texts that come, any conversation, I always feel uneasy about, because there's a different story to each one of them, but they all have like a little story.
I don't think it's helpful to exaggerate though, because I might work with, let's say, a little under 50 women, or, you know, whomever. Like the majority of people that work in the social work field are predominantly women. So the majority of people I work with, overwhelming majority, are women. Very rarely do I work with a man. But so like those three women that you seem to have an issue with is not all of them. There's many women I work with that.
The ones I know, I mean, like we have, you know, I have named them. I have told you, this is why she's a trigger for me. This is why she's a trigger for me. This mm-hmm. is why she's a trigger for me. So I guess we're talking about the closest ones. Mm-hmm. There's to me, there is an incident that happened in the past that already makes that person feel very unsafe.
Okay.
And he lives with them on a daily basis. So it's
right. True. Okay, so can I assume, and here's kind of the vibe I'm getting, is that this is where you guys get stuck. It feels like Nick starts to feel like this is control. I'm starting to feel controlled. I'm starting to feel like every little thing I do is wrong or looked through a lens of sin or unhealth or infidelity. And then Christy, you feel like he's not taking your concerns seriously. Therefore, is he even repentant? Does he even care? Is he just going to go back and repeat all those patterns again? And you guys are kind of stuck here.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm being held to a level of perfection I can't possibly reach.
Okay.
Because I mean, you know, going back to initially when it started 8 years ago, I've made some changes.
Yeah. Well, let's clarify. So 8 years ago or so, you had a physical affair, correct?
It was more emotional than physical.
Was there anything physical involved?
No.
Okay.
I read texts that would say otherwise, maybe not sex itself, but yes.
So you haven't even established that yet, or you have, or, I mean, is that still like, we're still curious about that, Nick?
Yeah, no, I would say I'm not even certain. I mean, that has come up recently, but I don't know if she has in the last period of time.
Yeah.
Went back and reviewed. For whatever reason, she has kept emails from that period of time. I don't know how that's healthy at all.
So, but when we look back, Nick, you say it was not physical?
Yeah, it was not physical.
But Christy, you still have a question mark. Like, you're not sure.
And okay. I don't know where that's come from, because when we were doing the initially, that was a very, you know, direct, pointed question. It was not physical, and Christy would not react the way she's reacting right now. She asked me that when literally we were having the conversation of whether to get back together after it had happened. This was like 8 years ago, and then we were separated for a period of time, and she asked that. It was like, no, it wasn't. It was emotional.
Okay. So since that incident 8 years ago, what has been your track record? And I just like, I want you to like, how many times has there been something grossly inappropriate that has kind of come up that you've had to confess, acknowledge, deal with?
I think Christy would view those as, I would say, zero.
Okay.
And you, when you use the word grossly inappropriate, so there was, just kind of touching on these three interactions connected to those people that I work with. There was me, liking a picture of a case manager that I work with, which I shouldn't have done that. But in my, we had just started working together. I think she's a great worker, great case manager. And I think it was just like, you know, liking that. But I mean, I apologized and, you know, ended up getting rid of my social media shortly thereafter. But I see, I wouldn't consider liking a picture as a grossly inappropriate thing to do.
Okay.
There was the, I made a joke to someone who is now my boss. It was like the pen is mightier than the sword kind of thing. That was the joke. Like, it wasn't like a lewd, vulgar, you know, using pornographic words. It was like that type of a, like a double entendre, like trying to be a smart aleck type of joke, which, I mean, is that appropriate? No, but I mean, I wouldn't say that that's, you know, completely like, as you said, grossly inappropriate. I think it's been zero. Like, I'm like, again, grossly inappropriate thing.
Yeah.
Have I said, like, again, respecting her triggers and things like that and what she's been through? Has there been times when I could have chosen words differently or been more transparent? Like, hey, I'm working with this person now, just to give you a heads up. She's a new person, just so you're aware. If you see like me texting and stuff like that, but, and not sending like heart emojis or anything to anybody. I'm very much a homebody. I'm not one of those guys that is like, Friday night, I'm going out to the bar with the fellas and, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted you to list it because there are levels of this, right? And I need to kind of have an idea of what level we're talking about here and how frequently. Is there anything that I'm missing that would add to this equation, like frequent porn use or anything like that, that I'm missing, Christy?
I would agree that it has not, I mean, there hasn't been anything maybe that has been, like you said, grossly inappropriate. I think it has been more lots of little inappropriate things in from my perspective. Again, and I acknowledge that I have a very different perspective than he does. So, for example, there was this time when he was explaining to me who this woman was, that he had liked her photo, and she had a very revealing photo. And as he was explaining to me who she was, he just blurted out, I love her. She's great to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, after an emotional affair, when you tell me that attractive woman with very revealing clothes, you just hearted her photo and you tell me you love her, not the most appropriate thing to tell your wife, right?
You're right.
And there's been just little, like I would say more years of lots of little things that just make me feel like he doesn't care about the anxiety that this brings to me.
Okay. Yeah, and that's fair to, I mean, that's how you feel, and it's, I'm glad that you're sharing. Let's look at some of the facts. People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. with an integrative approach, will guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at DeborahFileta.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. The facts are he made a mistake 8 years ago, or we could even say a series of mistakes. And the facts are that you and Nick have been working to redraw your boundaries in each season, right? Because they've had to change over time as you've matured, as you've grown, as you've learned, right? You learn things that you didn't know before. You know, whenever you get a new property, maybe you start with no fence and then you realize, oh my goodness, all the deer are coming in and eating all our vegetables in the garden. We have to put some fencing in this area and we have to tweak this and we have to tweak that. So you learn and you grow with your boundaries. Boundaries are protective. Boundaries are not meant to control. They're meant to protect. And I am definitely sensing for you, Christy, they're starting to come from a controlling place because you're scared. You are terrified that he's going to hurt you again. Mm-hmm. And you're looking for it. You're aware of it. It's like, okay, where is it going to happen? Let me just have my guard up just in case. But in that protection, in that control, in that fear, I don't want you to miss all the work that the two of you have done already and where you've arrived. And how long has it been, Nick, since you've been off of social media?
Oh, it's been probably almost 2 years, maybe a year and a half.
Okay. So even that instance where he liked that photo was a year and a half, 2 years ago, right? Yeah, nothing recent. Yeah. So he's been willing to give up social media, give you access to everything, start to set more firm boundaries around his relationship with women, respond to your feelings of unsafety. Hey, this makes me feel unsafe. I need you to do this differently. Acknowledge when he's made a mistake or crossed the line or walked into a gray zone and then kind of backtracked to do it differently. You've made progress. You said it yourself. You used to respond in rage and now you're being a little bit more vulnerable. Here's what I need. Here's what I'm feeling. So I want you to see you're not as stuck as you think you are. You guys are really navigating this well. And I want each of you to see how well the other person is navigating this despite everything that you've been through. Can you acknowledge that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've come a long way. I think it's important for Christy to hear that, because the way that, you know, we've had conversations and I've, you know, talked a lot about that, like, you know, just from my own perspective, basically saying exactly what you've said, you know, the changes I've made, you know, and continuing to fine tune things. But I mean, I think it, you know, hearing it from someone like you, I think, you know, Chris, I know Christy has an immense amount of respect for you and thinks very highly of you, you know, maybe that helps her see it in a.
Well, what do you think, Christy?
I see what you're saying. And I think part of the problem, why I feel like I still have to be on the guard and have to be like the one looking out for a relationship, is because throughout all of this time, it has been me, the one who has to, for instance, like I was in part the person who started or I guess who started the end of that relationship. Like I made it very problematic and I just wanted to end it. So I did what I had to do in order to end that relationship. And then with other friendships, I have been the one to point out when things are inappropriate. I don't think there has been a time where it has come from Nick to say, hey, today I said this, and I think, you know, it was inappropriate. I just wanted you to know. It's always been me. So I guess I have fallen into this belief that if I'm not looking out for it,
Yeah.
And again.
Well, I think that's part of the problem when you build your boundaries externally without building connection internally. So boundaries are important. They're these external things that keep the bad out, right? They protect you. But at the same time, you have to be building intimacy towards each other. You have to feel so connected to each other, not just disconnected from the world and from women and from people around you. That's step one, sure. But just doing that part without building the internal connection just makes you feel like you're constantly having to defend yourself. That's it. And I wonder how much internal intimacy has been blocked because of fear, because of feeling, on Nick, on your part, not good enough. I'm never going to measure up. Nothing I ever do is enough. Christy feeling like I can't let my guard down. What if he hurts me again? What if I try to connect with him more and then he hurts me? It's going to hurt even more. So let me just keep my guard up. So it's almost like you have a guard up around your marriage, but you also have a guard up around yourself.
Yeah.
And you're keeping him from getting in, but you're also trying to keep him from getting out. So he's stuck between these two walls. The first wall is all of the boundaries that you have around your marriage. The second wall is the boundaries you have around yourself. And he kind of gets to flounder in the middle of that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense when you put it that way.
So
it's created kind of a, you know, a vicious cycle. I mean, like right now, there's very little, if any, kind of intimate connection. And so, I mean, but when it was happening, it was almost like this vicious cycle of like, you know, she might see something for me as innocuous as like one, like a text to a person where it's like, hey, how was your week? You know, one of those type of like rapport building things buried amongst work related stuff. And that would trigger her. And then we might be in a good place at that time. And then she might come to me and say, I don't want you to, you know, I don't appreciate this text and don't do it. And then for me, I immediately am like a deflated balloon because I'm like, well, right now things are good. And, you know, there's some intimacy and connection there. And then you're putting this on me again, this, you know, again, expecting perfection and, you know, expecting something that I can't give you. So then I immediately put the wall up and I'm feeling very upset and like, oh, this is her controlling me again. And,
right.
And then, so she's not feeling connection, which, you know, puts her in a more place of fear. And so it's been challenging. In that way.
I can see that. And I think this is kind of the next step for you too. Christy, it's you starting to let down your walls and let him in. We're going to keep the big walls around the boundaries, the important boundaries to protect your marriage. And it sounds like Nick's committed to that. But we need to have you guys connect more. And so I really encourage you to meet. One practical thing we can do is I want you to meet on a weekly basis. Set aside a time that you meet and you talk through your week. Talk through specifically interactions with the opposite sex. Nick, you lead the way in that conversation, okay? So I want you to kind of break it up into green zone, yellow zone, red zone, okay? Green zone is the type of interaction that you could have with anybody, your mother, your neighbor, your sister, your friend. How are you? How was your week? Just regular everyday interactions, right? We're not talking about one-on-one situations. We're just talking about in the workplace, typical banter, work banter, okay? There's the green zone. There's the yellow zone. Anything that could border on flirtatious, something that you wouldn't say to somebody of the same sex, for example, like you said, heart emojis. You're not going to send a heart emoji to your male coworker, right? So anything that would be kind of that next level in the yellow zone. And maybe you two can sit and talk about what's your yellow zone. What does that look like? What does Christy feel the yellow zone is? What does Nick feel the yellow zone is? And just kind of talk through some scenarios so you have an idea and you're on the same page. And then there's the red zone. The red zone being like, this is where we've crossed the line and I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't wise. And you talk about what the red zone is, things that, you know, like we talked about grossly inappropriate would be the red zone. And what does that look like for each of you? It's not just talking about it. Oh, this is the red zone. What is it? What is the red zone for you as a couple? Because your red zone as a couple might look different than my red zone with my husband because of our different experiences, our different past, our different trauma history. So I want you to figure out what's your green zone, yellow zone, and red zone. And during your weekly check-ins, Nick, it's on you to share anything in the yellow zone and anything in the red zone. I want you to talk through it. Hey, you know, I sent something this week that could have been misinterpreted. And now that I look back, it probably wasn't a good idea. And I just wanted you to know, right? Those type of things that you feel like you need to share, talk about, talk through. So spend some time each week having some of those harder conversations and then checking in with each other. How are you doing this week? How's our marriage going this week? What are you struggling with this week? What's going well? How can I pray for you? What do you need from me? And just talk with one another. What's God teaching you in this season of life? Have some time to check in with how you're doing and what's going on in your lives. Set aside at least half an hour once a week and try to do it on the same exact time every week. In my relationship with my husband, it's our Sunday nights. Every Sunday night at 9 p.m., we have our check-in time where we talk through what we're doing, how we're doing, how we're doing as a couple, what we need from each other, what we did well, what we didn't do well. We talk through all of these things. You have to focus on building intimacy inside the walls, not just protecting yourself from everything beyond the walls, right? And I think this is going to be a really important step in building trust and building connection with one another. And the reason I'm confident about this, Christy, is because when I hear your history, I'm not hearing that you are married to some crazy female addict. I'm hearing a man who says, yeah, I crossed the line and I'm working on tightening up my boundaries, doing things differently, learning from my mistakes. And so to me, we can work with that. What worries me is when there's no conviction, when there's no repentance, when there's arrogance. I'm not hearing that from Nick. And that makes me feel really good. And it should make you feel really good too. But at the same time, just as much as you need security, Christy, and Nick, it's important for you to put into words who she is to you, what she means to you, how important she is to you. You know, as much as she needs safety and security, Nick also needs affirmation and to know that you're noticing his growth and his work. Because both of these things are a huge piece to getting this marriage to move in the right direction. Nick just doing the right things is not enough for this marriage to take the next step in the right direction. It's also going to take you, Christy, doing the right things to move your marriage into the next level of health and intimacy and connection. And I really believe you guys have what it takes. I believe you have the ingredients to do just that. The question is, are you willing?
Yeah, I like how you're putting things into perspective. I do feel that maybe I tend, because it's such an overwhelming thing for me, I tend to kind of like just stay focused on that without seeing like the bigger picture.
Well, when you have been wired to look for danger everywhere because of your trauma, you're wired to look for danger everywhere, right? You're not wired to look for the good, to look for what's working, to look for what you're doing right, to look for what's not danger. What can I enjoy here? What can I just enjoy? Because your body's like, look for danger, be on the lookout. But you cannot do that for too long until your motor burns out and your engine is like, I'm done, in your marriage and in your personal life. So you have to start opening your eyes to everything that you're both doing well. And that includes you, Christy, what you are doing well and what's happening inside the fence that's really good, right? And I think you both need that. Nick, tell me what's going on with you right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's really kind of nice to hear, you know, kind of the way that you phrase that. And I think it's spot on, specifically what you were saying about how Christy's kind of wired to kind of look for the negative. And I don't know if that also part of that is kind of her perfectionist, you know, mindset. But it definitely, like, it feels very accurate to me, because and I don't know if Christy would feel the same way, or, but, like, you know, over the past several years, like, as our relationship, you know, for a long time, there was periods of just like happiness and things were going really well. And the times when there would be, you know, issues were very brief, but then, you know, we've now reached the point where, you know, it's those episodes of happiness or contentment are very brief, but, you know, there would be times when we'd be doing really well and it would, you know, she would kind of bring something to my attention. And it's kind of like what I was referring to earlier with that, it would start that cycle. So, I mean, just for me, I'd be thinking like, why is she focusing on such a small minor thing? And, when things are going so well with us right now, and, it was frustrating for me. And then I kind of go into a shell type of thing to protect myself. And
yeah, I think whenever those things come up from this point on, the first thing you have to ask yourself, Nick, is this: how can I help Christy feel secure? No matter what she brings up, no matter how stupid it is in your mind, how can I help her feel secure in this moment? That's my only job. Not to defend myself, just to say, how can I help her feel secure in this moment? In those moments, Christy, your one and only job is, how can I help him feel appreciated for the work that he's already done? How can I help him feel appreciated? I see what the work you're doing. I acknowledge it. I want to bring one thing to your attention that hurt my feelings, and here's what I need. But how can you help him feel appreciated even while you're bringing your needs before him? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I want you to keep in mind when these little things come up, because they will. But the more connected you feel and are, the easier it will be to deal with these things when they come up. And so the weekly meetings, the other thing is, I would like to meet with you guys in a couple of months to do a little tune up every now and again. Okay. So after we get off the call, we'll email and talk about setting up an appointment so that we can get you in for regular check-ins and tune ups as you're navigating this, so we can just make sure we stay on the right track.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe in you guys. I think you have the ingredients right here. You have everything you need. It's just a matter of putting the ingredients in the right place, in the right way, in the right time, and creating a beautiful recipe. You can have all the ingredients, but not the right recipe, and it not end well, right? But you have all of the ingredients, and that's the important part. We're going to make sure you have the right recipe and that you keep moving in the right direction, which is moving towards healing, which you already are. We're just going to keep taking steps in that direction.
Perfect.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for sharing with me and just sharing your story and your heart and your vulnerabilities. And we're going to keep working on moving you guys in the right direction.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Deborah.
You're welcome. Take care. Isn't it amazing that we can spend so much time protecting our marriage, playing defense, where we're just keeping all the bad things out, that we forget to actually grow and nourish all the things that are happening inside those walls? What are you doing to nourish your marriage? What are you doing to build intimacy in your relationship? It's important that we have boundaries. It's important that we have a wall of protection to protect our relationship from the harmful things on the outside, but it's just as vital that we create good things on the inside. As we're pulling the weeds, it's important that we also plant the seeds. So I just want to challenge you to focus in on your relationship this week and ask yourself this: what are you doing to invest in your relationship? What are you doing to have fun? What are you doing to build emotional intimacy? What are you doing to build spiritual connection? What are you doing to build physical and sexual connection in your relationship? What does that look like on a weekly basis? What does that look like on a daily basis to build connection with one another? If you're struggling and looking for some advice and direction in this area, I encourage you to pick up a copy of Choosing Marriage and read through what does it look like to build emotional, spiritual, physical intimacy in your marriage. What are some practical steps that you can take outside of weekly check-ins? I've got a whole list of ideas for you on building connection in your relationship. And there's no better day to start than today. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you're enjoying what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books: True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about all of those, as well as hundreds of articles and courses, as well as the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, over at my blog, truelovedates.com, or my website, deborahfalada.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Falada. Send me a DM and tell me your story. If you have a question on your mind or a guest suggestion, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/talktome and let me know what's on your mind. I'm Deborah Falada, and it was so great being with you today. I can't wait to talk with you again next week. I'll see you then.